Hello and welcome back to another episode of the world's greatest podcast, my podcast. Today I have two beautiful guests. We will be talking about perimenopause. If you ladies would like to introduce yourselves to us, tell us a little bit about yourself and what do you do?
So who goes? Does the Priyanka go first?
So hi, I'm Dr. Priyanka. I'm a gynecologist with special interest in holistic wellness. And I got interested into hormones with my own journey with endometriosis, where I really had to struggle a lot. And then when I found the path of wellness, well eating, taking care of myself, it really helped me. And I thought I should share my story and also reach out to as many women as I can.
Perfect. Irina?
So I'm Irina Bond, and I'm a well aging expert at Medigin. I am health-related background for a very long time. So I've been into detox programs with my clients back in London. I've set up one of the first detox companies in London, Purifying Cleanse, at the time. And I've been running it. I was running it, actually, for 8 years. So this was due to my certain health conditions, IBS, that I was trying to treat and eventually healed myself naturally in a natural ways. So yes, at this point in time, we are at Medigin. We are providing our hormone balancing programs to our ladies and gentlemen for perimenopause, menopause, postmenopause, andropause, as well as longevity programs.
Perfect. So my lovely clients and my followers have quite a few questions for you. So without further ado, we will start with the first question, which would be, how do we know if we are in perimenopause?
So I would answer the question in a way. Menopause is when after the age of 40, you don't have periods for a year. So you need to wait for 1 year, no periods, go through all the hormonal changes, and that's when your doctor will diagnose, okay, you're in perimenopause, or you're in menopause. Perimenopause is the time before that. Now, this could be 5 to 10 years before you stop your period. And it can be, you know, it can start even as early as the age of 30 or 35. You are going through emotional changes, mood changes, brain fog, poor memory. All of these are symptoms of perimenopause. Your periods could vary. You can have light bleeding, heavy bleeding, or no bleeding at all. But if we go to your gynecologist or your doctor, they would just say, okay, you're too young to be in perimenopause, or perimenopause, it'll just pass off. And we really sometimes don't know that what has hit us, and it's actually perimenopause or getting to the phase of menopause. Because for most women, when I talk to a young person and I tell you what is menopause, you would just think it's, you know, you maybe fall off a cliff one day when you're 50 or 55. At the age of 30 or 35, you will not think of menopause. But perimenopause is it's a long duration of time, and there is no blood test which can pick up perimenopause. So it's important that if you are going through symptoms, brain fog, poor memory, your periods are not either coming in time, there are fluctuations in your periods, mood swings, feeling tired, fatigue, think of perimenopause.
Sounds like everything that I'm experiencing. How do we know if fatigue, brain fog, etc., is premenopause or is it just life? This was one of the most commonly asked questions. Mm.
So what happens is, I always tell women who come to me that think of the 4 S: sugar, salt, sleep, and stress. So if you're sleeping on most days after 12 or 1, if you have stress in your life, which all of us have, which is, you know, sometimes a chronic stress which keeps going on and on, there is something called cortisol stress syndrome. So your body makes estrogen and progesterone. Estrogen is made in the first 15 days. Progesterone is in the next 15 days of your regular 28 to 30 day cycle. But if you are having high stress levels due to our work, due to many other conditions, or you're always sleeping late, your body is using up all the cortisol. And in the morning time, when you wake up, you don't have enough cortisol. Now, cortisol or a stress hormone is vital for life. So our body starts to take away cortisol from the progesterone. Progesterone is making cortisol. And this is leading on even to burnout and fatigue. So if you are experiencing on most days not feeling well, not feeling how you used to feel. There is something wrong with me, but I cannot pinpoint what's going wrong. It could be perimenopause. It could be burnout. It's a good sense then that you have a checkup and get some blood tests done to understand, you know, what's That's happening beneath the surface.
What is happening in my body? What are your thoughts on consuming more soya products?
So soya products, it's actually very interesting. I've been reading on that lately, and it's soya include isoflavonoids. And those phytochemicals, or we call them also phytoestrogens, they help during your perimenopause, as studies say. So it's a good idea to include some soya products in your daily diet. But of course, we need to always, like with everything, see where is the source of that product, because it's very important where it's produced, how it's been produced. For example, just yesterday, last night, I was rewatching the Live to 100, the Blue Zones. And in Okinawa, that's the island, a tiny island in Japan, they produce the best soya products ever, apparently. Potent, super potent with protein, super potent with good fat. And they produce tofu and other products. So, for example, products like tofu, look at the regions, of course, but tofu, chickpeas, edamame beans, miso soup. That's a very good idea to include. And then again, see how you feel while eating those foods.
So sourcing is very important. Yes. Because like she said, there are phytoestrogens. That is the plant-derived natural source of estrogen. And that's why in perimenopause and menopause, we advise women to increase the soya intake. Yeah, because we don't always need hormones. So non-hormonal advice is given where you increase the intake of phytoestrogens, a plant-based sources of estrogen like flax seeds, chia seeds, and soy products. And these can help your body, you know, boost the natural production of the hormones also.
Yes. And just to add also, Medigene is not only about conventional medicine, but we also about functional medicine. So for us, it's very important. Yes, we do prescribe you bioidentical hormones, and this is bioidentical hormones, not usual synthetic hormones. But we also suggest and prescribe, almost prescribe, a set of supplementations. Like in many perimenopause, we would suggest also omega-3, calcium, Dr. Priyanka.
Yeah. So, like when you're thinking of soy products, I'm thinking of a source of some important phytoestrogen. So there are very bespoke supplements that we prescribe. And you must have, you're in this industry, health industry. You know, women just go into a shop and, you know, we just sometimes just buy things off the counter. Okay, I heard of magnesium. Let me take some magnesium, some omega-3, tryptophan, and all over the place, right? But you need to identify what is it. Are you struggling with insulin resistance? Are you having hypothyroidism? Have you gained fat, which is hard to lose? Is your cholesterol level high? What is your ferritin level? So that's why we have a personalized medicine, functional medicine approach, where we kind of, it's a marriage between conventional medicine and functional medicine. And that's one of its kind, I think, in the world, what we offer. So we want to do a deep dive into your blood levels, your lab markers. We want to understand your lifestyle. We give a detailed questionnaire where even before you come into the clinic, I would know that, okay, this is what your age is. This is what your family history is, your medical history. These are the symptoms you are struggling with. And what would be, you know, ideal for you in terms of the bioidentical hormones and also the supplements. So what would you like? What should you be taking in the daytime? Are you lacking methyl folate or any methylated B vitamins? Vitamin D, do you need omega-3, do you need magnesium? And that's how we make a very bespoke protocol for you so that, you know, that is we give you the best.
That is incredible. Yeah, because often, even in the past, someone would say, oh, take magnesium for muscle recovery. And I was like, yes, but which one, how
there
much?
There are at exactly. least five kinds yes. of magnesium.
Where right. it's yes. coming from, yes. again, yes. like with foods, you need to know where the yeah. source of
And I think magnesium is the new gold. Yeah, people are talking about, and magnesium comes as magnesium glycinate,
magnesium threonate, magnesium carbonate, magnesium oxide, magnesium taurate. There are 6 to 7 kinds of magnesium. So you cannot just, and you also need to know what's the best time to take magnesium. Magnesium also is going to prevent the risk of dementia, Alzheimer's, with your bone, with your heart, with your muscle. It has 400 functions in the body. Wow,
that is incredible. The next question is how to help with insomnia. I can't sleep 2 weeks before my period, age 34.
So this is again, you know, I think magnesium has led us to insomnia, right? So again, insomnia, we need to understand that is your insomnia, there are different kinds of insomnia.
Yes, where it's coming
from.
One is
you are not able to fall asleep at all. So you're awake till 1 or 2 o'clock. Maybe you are keeping your mobile with you. You have a lot of activity. Your cortisol is very high in the late evening. You're not rested. You're not relaxed. Or you're doing very high intensity workouts in the late evening. So that keeps your body in a very active mode. Some people fall asleep easily, but then they wake up in the middle because we have the REM sleep. So they go into sleep, but they don't go into a deep sleep and they wake up at 3 a.m. A very common cause of insomnia where women can fall asleep but they wake up is progesterone deficiency. Again, progesterone deficiency because of the cortisol state syndrome. You are very stressed, you have a long day, you're doing very intense workout without a break, okay? And you are then taking a lot of stimulants, so your body is in awake, alert state. And then your cortisol, because you need cortisol, progesterone is going to make the cortisol. You don't have progesterone, you're not relaxed, you cannot sleep. So if you look at hormones, the female hormones or hormones as women know, estrogen, progesterone. I will talk about testosterone a little later. Testosterone is also a female hormone. But estrogen is like the wild sister. That's the one who is going to be, you know, outgoing in the first 15 days, makes you super active. You, after your period, you're like, you know, you can conquer the world. You can just go out and do anything. You feel so relaxed and relieved and, you know, you're just out there. Progesterone is a calming sister, which is released after the egg is released. So that means it's in the next 15 days or the just before your period, you need to have progesterone. But if your body is not making enough progesterone, that's when the mood swings, the insomnia, not feeling, because too much estrogen is also not good. So that's when we, you know, we need to balance the hormones and look into the causes of insomnia. And if the progesterone levels are fluctuating throughout the cycle, one day you will sleep, you'll feel well. The other day you are feeling totally anxious, not able to sleep. And then you feel okay again. So it's like PMSing every other day.
I love what you've mentioned because I often get asked about, do I use any pre-workout supplements? And I don't, because training is stress to your body. And then I have in the past, if I've ever trained after 6 p.m., I could not sleep in the evening. Mm-hmm. Like I would have problems with my sleep. So for me, I need to train. I know that not everyone is able to train whenever they want, but I would have to train like in the first half of the day, and I don't take any caffeine or any supplements or anything to, I don't know, boost my energy levels or things like that. I just get enough sleep, have one coffee in the morning, and I am full of energy to go to the gym and lift.
But you know, with sleep also, we can help ourselves with meditations, with the right breathing exercises, you know. It doesn't always have to be reaching out for the supplements or hormone treatments, especially if you are earlier on in your days for menopause, you know. It could be something as simple as just relaxing in the morning, because believe me, after doing my meditations for over 10 years now, every time I do meditation, I almost fall asleep in the middle of meditation, which is not exactly called meditation. It's called sleep after. So
I think even the meditation is, for me, my work is my meditation.
Yes.
So sometimes some women are scared that, oh God, meditation, do I have to find a ideal place for it, time for it, or I don't have time. The time you're maybe going on the elevator, you can do the deep breathing. Maybe in between meetings do the deep breathing.
Yeah, exactly.
You know,
exactly.
So that's what I tell. So along with the hormone fluctuations, that's what we do in Medigen. So we are looking at your symptoms, not just from the point of view of any hormone deficiencies, but also giving you a lifestyle advice about, you know, why you need to sleep early, what time do you need to wake up, what are the mindfulness practices you can do, journaling, your screen time, mm-hmm. and sometimes just a little bit of coaching and advice can really go a long time. Like for myself, I kept a screen time for myself that, okay, it should be just 3 hours. And then my, at least when I get the alarm, I do postpone it for 30 minutes. Then, okay, let me increase my social media time. But at least I'm mindful, okay, it's been 3 hours in the day. Now let me try to, you know, not reach that time.
And because it's very difficult to time your social media. You almost like are sucked into it. And
especially if you run
disappear.
Your business online. Yes.
Especially if you run your business online a lot of the times, yeah. you know, doing posts from time to time. And
then exposure to the screen and the blue light after, you know, 9 p.m. Mm-hmm. and 10 p.m. And then that's the insomnia. So you need to bring that discipline where we even
in
give,
place
you know,
as well. Yes,
lifestyle
absolutely.
Advice. Okay, what do you do? Let me know for 3 days, next 3 days. What time do you wake up? What time do you sleep? What do you eat? When do you eat? We ask our clients to send us pictures of what did you eat. And then we get to know, okay, this is what you ate. Maybe you had a coffee too many or you had too much chocolate. And then that's keeping your brain alert in the night.
Scrolling on your phone. We've all been there. So the next two questions are training and nutrition considerations that support perimenopause.
Yes, so nutrition, for example, let's take nutrition. With nutrition, it's we are always thinking about foods. But before we even see that food, before the food is on the table, we need to look into our how we are thinking about the food and how we or what are the thought process about these foods, you know. Also, what is our relationship to food? Because a lot of the times, it may be coming even from your subconscious mind, you know, some kind of trauma from your childhood, you know, bringing this some kind of binge
comfort
eating or
yes.
comfort eating. Yes. So once you address that, and of course, you've got to be tuned to yourself, how you feel about that food. You know, a lot of people just sometimes eat for the sake of eating, whereas while eating, it's a good idea to be mindful a little bit from time to time.
What is a mental, you know, food map?
100%.
So 35 plus perimenopausal women, we get a lot of women who are really struggling with this belly fat or food belly. You know, you start developing a tire around your belly and you've been eating right, you've been doing the exercise, but somehow it doesn't go away. So I advocate a lot of strength training. And mm-hmm. I have started doing that also over the past 1 year. And now at the age of, you know, 48, I'm like, I wish someone had, you know, really taken me through this 10 years back. I would have really, you know, I used to do a lot of yoga, Zumba, aerobics. So I've kept my weight constant. But then strength training or muscle, I think after the age of 40, women have to, number one, increase their protein intake for sure. Yeah, at least.
And
60
lean and
to,
mean. Ones.
Yeah, 60 100%. To 80 milligrams of protein. So I tell them, okay, many women will say, no, I'm fasting. I don't eat till 11, 12. No problem. At least have some nuts. To start at least with protein, 20 grams per meal or every, you know, three times a day. Without the protein, your muscle will lose. And most of us, you know, we are going to end up being weak and frail after perimenopause and menopause. So building muscle is important. Strength training, lifting weights is important. Even, you know, wearing a weighted chest. And that's what, again, your bone health, your muscle health, because there's something called sarcopenia. As we age, we're going to keep losing muscle. So I even keep telling Irina, you know, why don't you lift weights? And then I'm going to try to convince her.
But you see, I do agree with all what you are saying.
Yes.
At the same time, you've got to do what you like.
Like
that is true.
If you don't like lifting weights, like it is the case with me, sorry to say, I do my ballet, you know, and ballet exercise, it's one of the best exercise
True.
To build your muscles and keep them lean and mean, like a lean and mean machine, you know.
So it's about a choice.
Anything
yeah.
else.
Yes, but with the workout, I would definitely suggest women
Strength
increase
training.
Your protein.
Yes.
Think more of protein, during the day. Cut down process. So you don't want to take a 360 degrees turn and totally stop eating. You have, and I tell women, don't call it a cheat meal. It's a treat meal. You've been good. You've been exercising. And then we work a lot on the gut also. So we offer probiotics. We talk about gut bacteria. How can we improve your gut bacteria? What kind of foods you can add into your diet? So only when everything is working in synchrony and working together, that's when your sugar cravings go away. And that's when the, not even the weight loss, I would say building muscle or building more cutting down, you know, reducing your fat levels and building muscle. That's the key.
Yeah, I teach my clients, they, when they sign up for my application, they get nutritional guides and it explains how much protein they should eat, why lifting weights is important, why they should not be training fasted, about cortisol as well. True. Losing muscle, building muscle, and how important weightlifting is. I've been preaching about this on my social media for the last probably 5 years. But from what I see, a lot of women are under eating, not eating enough protein, training fasted, skipping breakfast.
Even calorie. I tell them, yes, you need calories. You without need calories, you cannot work, you cannot function. No. And even with intermittent fasting, right? I mean, you have to listen to your body. First, try with 12 hours. And if that's okay for you, maybe try with 14 hours. But if you feel hungry, don't starve yourself.
No.
At that time, maybe have a fruit. You know, so that's you have to listen to your body. That's
protein
that's
with each meal, carbs around your training to help with glycogen in your muscle stores, and lift weights and just eat whole
and it's
foods.
A journey.
It's a journey. Yes.
It's always work in progress.
Always.
And it's about getting healthy, staying healthy, and health span. Because we want you to take less medications for conditions like diabetes or high cholesterol or hypertension. And then we offer you hormones depending on your need, your bespoke supplements, whether it's magnesium, omega-3, or, you know, the different vitamins. And why do you take which supplement? When do you take it? How do you take it? And that's, you know, that makes your whole day.
And going back slightly to leave to 100, the blue zones. The best, one of the best proteins, it's actually for longevity as well, because at that period, you know, we already should be thinking about longevity, is beans. Beans is one of the best source of proteins. And also all sorts of phytochemicals. So whether it's red, whether it's green, whether it's anything else, I mean vegetables and legume should be on the table. As well as carbs, of course, for the training, you do need carbs. 100%. But what carbs you are going to use? Perhaps whole grain and perhaps complex carbohydrates could be better than, let's say, white rice, white pasta, and white bread.
Nutrition is extremely, extremely important. So one of the questions that I've also got was, undecided to start HRT. Is this something that you recommend to women? Because there are a lot of mixed opinions. And I would say
absolutely.
Some people really are against it. Some people are really for it.
But we are providing BHAT, yes?
Okay.
So it's bioidentical hormone therapy. So bioidentical means that they're identical as body molecular, identical hormone body molecular. So we are not as such replacing them, and Dr. Priyanka will overtake on that, but we are topping them up ever so slightly. And the earlier you come, the better it is for you, really. If you are feeling, if you're already having some symptoms of, let's say, perimenopause, or you've just realized you don't, you know, you are into menopause already.
So the name has in fact changed now from HRT, hormone replacement, to just hormone therapy. Because we are not replacing any hormone which you don't have. When we talk of hormone therapy, estrogen, progesterone, testosterone, these are the hormones which you have heard of. There is also DHEA, which is the mother of all hormones. Pregnenolone is the grandmother of all hormones. And all of these hormones are derived in our body from cholesterol. So good cholesterol, which has omega-3, and that converts into pregnenolone, which makes DHEA, and then DHEA converts into testosterone. Testosterone in the body only makes estrogen. Another pathway, pregnenolone makes progesterone, and progesterone converts into cortisol. So that is how all these hormones are functioning in the body. Hormones are basically chemical messengers. Some of the hormones are made from our brain, the pituitary, that's the master gland, the hypothalamus. And then these go through the bloodstream to the different organs like the ovaries to produce the estrogen, progesterone, goes to adrenal gland. There are hormones which are produced by the adrenal gland. These are the glands sitting on top of our kidneys. And adrenal gland is what is making the adrenaline for our stress response, cortisol, noradrenaline. Then you have pancreas. We have heard of the pancreas, which makes insulin. Then we have heard of thyroid. This is a gland in front of our neck, which makes thyroxine. So if someone is having a thyroid problem, like a Hashimoto's thyroiditis or a condition of hypothyroidism where they are not producing enough thyroxine, we check the hormone TSH. If that value is less, we supplement them or we give them thyroxine hormone. And we never question that. So patients take it lifelong. If you're not making enough insulin, we give insulin or medication, and probably sometimes you need to take it lifelong. Same ways, if your body, so all women are born with a fixed number of eggs, maybe 4 million eggs are there in at birth. By the time you hit puberty, 400,000 are left, and maybe you will release 400 during your lifespan. So as you age, you are running out of eggs, and once all the eggs are exhausted, you are in menopause. So then you are not making estrogen, progesterone, testosterone. Adrenal gland will make a bit of testosterone. So we are replacing in hormone therapy the hormones that you had, that you need, not only for the hot flashes, not only for the vaginal dryness, but for brain health, because the advantages of hormone therapy are you are reducing the risk of Alzheimer's. Alzheimer's is also called type 3 diabetes now. Reducing the risk of dementia, cognitive decline. You're helping your heart health, reducing the risk of cardiovascular events, clots. You're building up bone, osteoporosis. We don't talk about osteoporosis at all. Maybe one of us is going to fall down when we are 70 or 80 and die because of that fracture.
That happened to my grandma.
Muscle health. Yeah. So that is why this is hormone therapy, where you are just giving back what you already had. Now, where is the controversy coming from? Hormone therapy is not new. It started in 1950s and 1960s. And then women were really doing well. That's when they decided to do a study, the WHI study. But this study was done in women who were 65, 70 plus. And when the results came out in 2002, the hormones which they were using were not the ones we are using now. They were using oral estrogen, which was derived from horse's urine, and synthetic progesterone. So in those studies, because of the synthetic progesterone, there was a slight increase, which is not significant, risk of breast cancer. But when they have done the study of women using estrogen alone, there was a reduction in the risk of breast cancer and in the risk of clots. But what stayed with the WHI study was this myth about increase of breast cancer. Now the hormones which are used are more body identical, bioidentical. So at Medigen, we use bioidentical hormones, which are plant-based. They are derived from yam. So they are as close a molecule to what your body hormone is. And in fact, the progesterone which is used, we are using even in pregnancy. Women who are sometimes pregnancy after IVF, or if there is a previous pregnancy loss, we want to support the pregnancy with progesterone given from the outside. So even for 8 months, we give them progesterone. And there have been enough studies that progesterone is safe. So if there's one thing I would want all the women listening out here is hormone therapy is safe. Hormone therapy has been tested. Hormone therapy, I think we have to now look at modern menopause management, get rid of the myths and reach out, meet your practitioner, talk about hormone therapy. It's not medicalizing menopause and saying that, okay, my grandmother lived without HRT or hormone therapy, I can live. Of course, you can live without it, but quality of life. Yeah,
and living longer, and how you look, how you feel, how long you
and your brain. I think the most precious possession is our brain and our body strength. So if there is a method to preserve that, you know, we are going to the moon, we are going to the Mars. So why not? We are living in a world of technology, Chat GPT, AI.
Hormone therapy, it's not a rocket science after all.
Absolutely. It's just the myth. And because even doctors, sometimes we are not well trained. And, you know, it's just 6 hours to 8 hours of curriculum that we have during our study on menopause. So many times even the doctors would say, no, it's unsafe. Don't take it. You will have all these problems. But I can give a big statement today that hormone therapy is safe. Reach out, find out your risk factors, get your test done, understand what's good for you, and live longer and live healthier.
You've made me think about my grandmother, because she, bless her, she fell over at the age of 92 and fractured her hip and never healed. She passed away 10 days after the surgery. Mm. And you just made me think about how different life was back then. Yeah, she passed away 5 years ago, but there was no HRT 50
No,
50
our
years
grandmothers
ago?
And mothers, they just powered
Different.
Through, you
yes.
know, but why do that if you have a
if you
such
have an option
tool,
of living
yes.
stronger and living healthier, yeah.
Yeah. The next question that I have for you is, what can we do before perimenopause hits? I'm 30 years old and I'm thinking of things to do to ease the perimenopause. I would definitely say weightlifting and a healthy diet and sleep and just basics.
And also preserving your adrenals.
Yes.
So what
which
happens?
Which means stress management, good yeah. stress management.
Yes.
Which means meditation, breathing.
We need stress. There's something called eustress. We need it. If I have a time, I need to come here at 2 p.m., I need to start at 1. If I start at 1:45, I will be stressed. So the planning and not filling your day with too many things. We multitask all the time. But I think it's important for women also to focus. This is what I have learned. Yeah. So in the 30s, I was crazy too. I will do too many things and then not able to do it, get hormonal, emotional, and all of that, you know, which,
mm-hmm.
which leads
yes, exactly.
from that.
Burnouts.
So burnouts, absolutely. So if you are taking care of this, you know, just I tell my patients, just do 4-2-4. Breathe in 4, hold for 2, breathe out 4. Just do that.
Boxed breathing.
Absolutely. Just do that as many times as you can in a day. And because we are not even breathing, you know, in a proper
way.
We are breathing so shallow. Yeah. So
yes.
Just taking care of that, activate your vagus nerve. I take at least 10 minutes to talk to my patients. That's why my consultations are never finished in 15 minutes. Because 10 minutes goes in telling them why your vagus nerve is important. Where is the vagus nerve? How the deep breathing helps with your vagus nerve, your parasympathetic system, and how that relaxation will help you. So if you've preserved your adrenal gland, it is able to produce more cortisol and you don't land up in burnout or fatigue. If you have taken care of your iron levels, your ferritin levels, your vitamin levels, your hormones, your DNA is well methylated. Your DNA and your cells are not burning out faster. So that is what is about, you know, taking care of yourself. And even an important test I want to talk to all young women. There's a test called AMH. It is called anti-Müllerian hormone. So like I told you, all women, we are born with fixed number of eggs. And of the 4 million eggs, we will release 400 in our lifespan. So AMH or anti-Müllerian hormone.
Sorry.
It's okay. So I want all women to think about a test called AMH or anti-Müllerian hormone. Anti-Müllerian hormone is a test of ovarian reserve. So we are born with a fixed number of eggs and we can have a blood test done, which will give us a number indicative of how many eggs we have. So this can be an important predictor for your perimenopause, your menopause, and even your fertility.
At what age would you test someone or would you recommend someone to do the test?
So if you go by guidelines, AMH is usually done only when women are coming for a fertility check, they want to plan a pregnancy, and they are thinking of, okay, I'm not getting pregnant, what do I do about it? But I would suggest it's a simple test, and even conditions like polycystic ovary, this test is a good biomarker to identify PCOS. So after the age of 25, it's a good idea to do this test AMH, because it will really give you a good idea of a number of things. Number one, if you are not planning for a fertility, you could think of egg freezing, mm-hmm. social egg freezing. If you are struggling with polycystic ovaries, it will give you a number to help you understand, yes, I have PCOS, what I can do about it. And then if you repeat the test, this AMH value, the value is between 2 to 6 nanogram per ml. So if your value is at 16 or more than 10, you could be having polycystic ovaries because you have a lot of immature eggs which are not getting released. Again, PCOS is a very common condition in young women nowadays. If your value is less than 2, then or less than 1, your reserve is running out. I have seen even young girls as early as 20, 25 have very poor ovarian reserve. And then we can, you know, give them an option of egg freezing or embryo freezing, depending on if they have a partner and, you know, they can really preserve their eggs for the future.
And also to add, for a perimenopause, what can you do to prevent any symptoms or anything else? You know, I do believe, and I am my own example, that you don't have to even have any symptoms of perimenopause or menopause. You can sail through very nicely without no symptoms whatsoever. Just ever so slightly, maybe
feeling tired.
Feeling tired and sleeping patterns, you know. But of course, your preparation for your perimenopause shouldn't start when you are 40. It should start perhaps way back to when you are 29, 30.
Even 30 years.
Yeah. And
that's a good
implement
time.
Good training system in place. Implement good nutrition in place. Implement also fasting from time to time, which is not that bad that people sometimes say. There is always place, I think, for everything. It's just how you do it, when you do it, how you feel about it while you are doing it. And that's what I think very important. But definitely nutrition, exercising routine, meditation, breathing, all of this should be in place way before it's actually it perimenopause hits you, because only then you can prevent any symptoms. You can sail through nicely, you know.
Because I think younger people are really facing a lot of stress nowadays. If you see social media, body image, mm-hmm. you know, trying to compare yourselves, look perfect, using all the filters, mm-hmm. you know, trying. So there's a lot of stress, and a young girl's mind, even as young as 5 and 6, you know, they want to look good, they want their eyes to look good, they want their, you know, so there's a whole thing of loving yourself.
Yes.
Yeah.
Last week, I have had a therapist coming onto the podcast, and we talked about body image. He specializes in mm-hmm. body image issues and eating disorders and eating behaviors. And when I was doing my research for the podcast, the statistics for body image issues and how many people commit suicide because of that were
astonishing.
I was left speechless, and that rarely ever happens. So we were talking a lot about social media and comparison and body image issues,
and again, this social media increasing your stress, your cortisol.
Yeah,
cortisol levels are less. Progesterone is going to convert to cortisol. Irregular periods, early perimenopause.
Yes.
Absolutely. But you see, what the root of the problem, it's not actually the social media.
It's
you understand, ladies?
Yeah.
The root of the problem is that we are not loving ourselves enough to not to let social media affect us. We've got to all, and we all been there, myself including, start loving yourself first, start putting yourself first. And that's not to watch and to look at the social media and how other
people
and what other people are doing.
Maybe sometimes that wisdom comes only after 40.
Maybe, yes, that's true. But you see, children are also picking up from their parents, from their social circle. They've picked up this, you've got to look like this model and not this person, you know? So it comes from somewhere ultimately.
It's a lifelong process.
And that's where conversations
of,
like these help.
Yes, yes.
Where we are just putting out the facts.
Yeah.
And we're also, you know, allowing people to be themselves.
To be themselves. Oh, that's what I always talk about. The next thing that I want to talk about is the premenopausal brain. Very clumsy. I'm always dropping things and I have become forgetful. Is there anything that I can do to help with this? As we already mentioned, brain fog. I have my brain fog every now and then.
So, again, brain fog is because we have estrogen, progesterone, and testosterone receptors in our brain. And when our hormone levels are coming down, so that's when, if you don't have enough hormone to help you, you may just suddenly forget. You know, you keep your house keys somewhere or your car keys are misplaced and you really don't know why you came into a room. So this is, it's not an indicator of, you know, dementia or anything, but just that it's your hormones playing around. So we do then have, you know, activities where we can advise women onto how they can, you know, maybe write down things and note down things. And we often give supplementations like, you know, DHEA or pregnenolone. And these can really help with the brain fog, because then they are helping your body. So if you don't want to start taking estrogen or progesterone, you can even start taking the DHEA or pregnenolone. And these help with brain fog. I have seen that where you're supplementing.
When I was when I was getting ready for my competition 2 years ago, and when my body fat percentage was really, really, really low, I have had, I mean, this is, I'm not proud of saying this, but I have had the worst brain fog. I could not focus. I could not concentrate. Mm. This happened for probably 4 weeks. It was like 2 weeks before the competition and then 2 weeks after the competition. I was so slow, and this is by no means healthy brain, or anything that I would recommend.
Fat. Your brain is 80% fat.
Yeah, yeah.
So if you are not taking enough good fats, because we are again trying to cut down our weight, we want to totally banish fat. So fats are good.
Very good. It was so eye-opening for me because I lost weight due to being in a calorie deficit. So I was eating enough protein, but not enough overall calories. So I was in a deficit for 6 months with regular diet breaks, going back to my maintenance calories, refeeds, taking breaks from dieting and so on. But I was getting ready for the competition, then stepped on stage. I was very, very lean, very, very dry. But I wanted to take myself through that experience to then see, just experience that on my own skin and see like what are common things that maybe some other women are going through from not eating enough. How does it feel to have brain fog, and just the importance of eating enough and not cutting down on food too much. You can focus on fat loss and be in a small calorie deficit, moderate, but it has to be sustainable and maintainable and in a healthy way.
And then
way.
Including the good fats in
good
your
fats,
diet. All the good fats, rich in omega-3, walnuts, take 10 walnuts
avocado,
a day,
avocado.
Almonds, avocado, olive oil.
Yes.
I found Brazil nut.
Love
it has
them.
Two Brazil nuts can take care of the selenium requirement for the day. So that's how we coach women where... Okay, these are the supplements and this is the, food and how you can add this into. Because when we tell people eat a healthy diet, that's a big, broad statement.
Very,
everyone thinks they're eating healthy.
Very.
But are you...
Everybody has their own idea
absolutely.
Of eating healthy.
Yes,
are
yes,
you eating from
true.
Packaged food? Is your almond milk having a lot of sugar? Read the ingredients, read the label. And that's when you realize, okay, that is, this is something. So
I'm so grateful for my upbringing and my parents' garden and my grandma's backyard, because we had everything fresh. Fruit, vegetables, meat, everything was...
And the food is crazy, it's super good. It's
homegrown,
so good.
Home-fed, we knew
and,
exactly.
And sadly now the soil doesn't have the nutrition.
I know.
So that's when, we need to identify what are the supplements that will help you.
What can we control? Yeah. What can we do? The last thing that I want to talk about is vaginal dryness. This has been asked quite a few times.
This is our topic of a life topic for tomorrow, actually.
Okay.
Vaginal health. Yeah.
So one of the ladies have asked me, she said, one of my clients, she said that my doctor prescribed an estrogen cream and I'm also still taking birth control to help with vaginal dryness and discharge. It hasn't helped much and has made me irritable and moody. Not to mention being messy. Is there anything else that I might consider?
So my first statement is oral pills are probably the best and worst thing that has been done to women. Because best in a way, it's an easy contraception. You don't need to use any invasive device like a contraceptive device, inserted inside like a Mirena. And also it's a very effective way of contraception. But sadly, when you give the oral pill, again, it's a synthetic estrogen and synthetic progesterone. And then your natural level of estradiol and progesterone becomes, you cannot even trace those levels of hormones. So you don't have any natural hormones floating around. That means it is going to cause an effect like a menopause where you have vaginal dryness, more chances of vaginal infections. Women keep getting these vaginitis and infections. There is a term, genitourinary syndrome of either menopause or perimenopause of lactation, whereby when we talk of vaginal dryness, so it's not like you have a dry skin and you just apply some moisturizer. So vagina, your vulva, labia, clitoris, all the organs which we are having, our genitalia, again they have receptors of estrogen, progesterone and testosterone. So if you're really struggling with vaginal dryness, the oral pill is also causing vaginal dryness. So it's working in conflict. So then we prescribe either vaginal estrogen and even testosterone creams can help with the vaginal dryness. So we need to look into that. Again, we need to look into your hormones. So unless we test your hormones, especially the testosterone levels are low, it can cause vaginal dryness, loss of libido, and we need to look into what's really happening there. Because without the hormones, then your the urethra from where you pass urine, the vagina, it all is going to lose collagen. And without the collagen, these structures are not well supported. They are prone to infections. And then this infection, you take some antibiotic or antifungal, and that again will cause more dryness. And it's like a, you know, cycle. And then you don't even want to have sex.
Yeah.
So that is again going to bring your mood down, right? So it's a vicious cycle.
It really is. I've had a slightly similar experience after dieting and losing a lot of body fat and just losing my
because
period.
Because like I told you, cholesterol, yes. The fat. So yeah, when we look at cholesterol, not all cholesterol is bad. If you do a cholesterol test, mm-hmm. look at the different components. Triglyceride level, total cholesterol, HDL is a good cholesterol. LDL and triglycerides are the bad cholesterol. So if you are being advised to take medication to reduce the cholesterol, all of the cholesterol, even the good one, is going to go down. But if you do need to take the medicine, go ahead. Discuss with your doctor to take a dose which is lower so that not all the levels are coming down. And increase the intake of the good fats. Chia seeds, flax seeds, avocado, olive oil, clarified butter. All of these are the good sources of fats. So that you are making good hormones. Because if you don't have cholesterol, then you don't make the hormones.
Mm. I love healthy fats. My dad's walnuts from his own garden. The final question that I would love to ask you, this is kind of for myself, but also for everyone else. What would you recommend if we take me as an example? So I'm 29 years old. I have a regular cycle, but I have had periods in my life where I didn't have a regular cycle. I'm not planning on having kids, but you never know. God knows. But what would you recommend to me to do? Blood tests, would I do that yearly or maybe every 2 years? I do get my smear tests regularly and that's all fine. And I do have a cyst on my right ovary, but it is normal and nothing to be worried about.
So that's a $1 million question.
Yes.
Because so now the whole thought process is changing. Yeah. Why do you want to test your hormones at the age of 45 and 50 when you don't have them? So test as early as you can. That would be important. And get to know your levels. So we usually recommend at least once a year to get, you know, I have two daughters. I ensure that every 6 months I get their levels tested so that we just, you know, get to know where you are, right? So we usually check certain hormones on your second or third day of your period, which includes your estradiol, your FSH and LH. And then we want to check your iron levels, your ferritin levels. And then we want to check some hormones on your day 20. We also do an ultrasound to see how your ovaries are, how is your uterus, because there is again a huge topic of estrogen dominance. Sometimes we don't have a balance of the hormones, and then that's what, you know, women struggling with ovarian cysts or endometriosis, fibroids, abnormal bleeding, PMS, all this is a high estrogen state where you don't have enough progesterone. Or you are lacking the B vitamins, or you're lacking important elements like selenium, magnesium. So your body is not able to utilize these hormones in a proper way. Or your liver is not detoxifying the estrogen. And so the bad estrogen also is circulating. And this leads on to disease. So I think now is a time when we have to move towards medicine 3.0, as they say. So not just waiting for the disease and be reactive to it, but be proactive. Come for a health check. We have young women now walking into our clinics, not for menopause, but women in their late 20s and 30s mm-hmm. who just come in. I want to do a hormone check. I'm not feeling well, or I'm feeling okay, but I want to just be sure. So what's stopping you?
Yeah.
Do your test.
Mm.
Make sure someone has seen your vagina, your uterus, your ovaries, because these are accessible
all the
areas.
Yeah, all the parts. But someone who specializes
all
in
the
it.
Parts, absolutely. So it's like your car, right? They will tell you, get your servicing done once a year.
Yeah,
but,
yeah.
You know, so when I go for my check, I really feel cleansed. Maybe I may not be able to prevent what's going to happen to me 5 or 10 years later, or what's in my genes, yeah? Irina talks a lot about genes and epigenetics. So we may all have genes of different kind of issues, cancer, and, you know, we are seeing cancer in young women, right? So there are also tests nowadays available by which we can, if not totally prevent, but predict cancers in women. Say, for example, for the breast cancer, we have the BRCA 1 and 2, which are the genes which can give you a risk of ovarian or breast cancer.
So and we have a package to test it as well.
So we have tests which by which we can, you know, predict that. Then we have estrogen itself. There is a bad estrogen called E1 or estrone. So if your levels of E1 are high during your perimenopause or menopause, that could lead on to breast cancer. Mm-hmm. If you are not metabolizing the estrogen in a good way, then we check the urine ratios of your estrogen. Yeah, so we are, if you're not breaking down the estrogen, you can have the bad estrogen, more of it circulating. So that can be tested with a urine test. So there is a lot of research and there is a lot of studies and there are a lot of options available whereby women can really, you know, be the stakeholders in their health.
Absolutely.
Be on top of the game.
Yes.
Because I would tell all my patients, okay, you have now come to us. Let's live the next 40, 50 years healthy. And then I will see you even when we are 90 or we are 95, you know, and we'll be working. I don't know what's going to happen in the future. But at least that thought process gives them a lot of, you know, it boosts up their mood that, yes, of course, I will be coming back.
But it's possible. It's actually possible. Absolutely. Scientists nowadays telling us that this could be possible until 90, 120.
And that's when we have a lot of well-aging tests and well-aging supplements too, too, where, you know, products like NMN, resveratrol, we
curtisin and spermidine we use for longevity.
And then there are supplements which are, you know, something like a DIM or an Indole 3. It's like broccoli in a capsule. So these can, you know, help reduce inflammation. So it's all working in synchrony and trying to live healthier and live better.
Ladies, check your hormones is what I would say.
Yes. The bottom line is check your hormones. Check your
hormones, yes. Yeah, something that I should also do. Maybe I'll see you next week.
In the clinic. All should. I am doing it tomorrow, actually, to double check.
Yes. Well, I just want to thank you so much for coming today and for answering all of the questions. I have learned a lot myself. I knew a few things, but as we already talked about, the more you learn, the more you realize how little you actually know. Where can people find you? I will leave your website in the description down below.
Yes, the website is magigene.com. And people can find us at Hortman's Clinics in Burj Al Salam, 1 Sheikh Zayed Road. And this is very close to World Trade Center Metro.
And you also have a clinic in...
And we also have a clinic, France? Yes, in France.
Okay.
Well, that's for European side of audience. Yes, and we do also online consultations, of course, not gynecological ones, but online consultations
related
providing,
to hormones.
Yes, related to hormones.
Perfect. Yes. That is awesome. Thank you so much for coming on today.
Thank you so much for inviting us.
Very
thank
nice.
You. Nice to talk
see you and to talk
see
to you.
Yes, yes. Thank you. And you guys, don't forget to subscribe, give us a like, let us know what you think. And until next time, we will see you and hear you next time.
Thank you all. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Yeah.